Our Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Bei Zayin Aleph, discusses the halacha of Hatzah and teaches us that what is the example where one is over the Aveira of Hatzah, of carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or Achnasa, of carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. The Mishnah gives us the example of Ani Oimed B'chutz, or Baal Bayis Bifnim, where the poor person is standing outside and the person who is giving him tzedakah is standing inside, and they're passing food, they're passing a basket, as we'll discuss later in the Masechta, from one to the other. And the Rishonim and the Achronim ask the question, why does the Mishnah have to teach us this halacha by giving us the example of an ani and a baal bayis, a poor person and a baal bayis standing indoors? Why couldn't the Mishnah have just spoken about somebody standing outside in the Rishus HaRabim and someone else standing inside in the Rishus HaYochid? The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis answers that the Mishnah, as we know, is always trying to speak in the most succinct fashion. And the Mishnah felt that describing this example of Hatzah v'Achnasa this way is the most succinct way it could speak. And as the Mefarshim explained, even though it requires first giving us some sort of an introduction of a story, the Ani outside, the Baal Bayis inside, but afterwards we just have to speak about Ani and Baal Bayis, and we don't have to speak every time about the person standing outside and the person standing inside. Rabbeinu Tam and the Meiri explain that was what was normally the case. The Mishnah used an example which was most frequently found, where the Ani, who stood in the Rishus HaRabim, the Ani, and who stood in the Rishus HaYochid, the Baal Bayis. The Meiri gives another answer. And we will, Mitzvah Shem, still speak in our Shiurim, that the Rishonim will ask that why does our Masechta specifically begin with the halacha of Hatzah more than any other halacha? And of course we're going to learn that there's some Rishonim that say the answer is because Hatzah is a malacha that's explicitly mentioned in the Torah. We're going to speak about the concept of Hatzah being a malacha geruah, and that's why it's the halacha that's begun with. But truthfully, there's another question that the Rishonim ask, and that is that one of the most fundamental halachas of Shabbos is that for a malach to be considered a malacha, it has to be a maleches machshavas, which leads to a very famous machloikis of Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda by a malachish and its tzricha l'gufa, which means as follows. The example we always give from Lachsha and Tzricha L'Gufa, if somebody is digging, not because he needs the hole, but because he needs the dirt, that isn't called a Malacha Tzricha L'Gufa. Because in the Mishkan, when they dug because they needed a hole. Or in the Mishkan, when they carried something from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, as we will discuss, they carried it because they needed it in the Rishus HaRabim. But if something is only taken out from the Rishus HaYochid because I don't want it in the Rishus HaYochid, that's a malach shen tzricha l'gufa. The classical example is if Rachmana Tzlan, there's a mace in the house, and the mace, the snifter, is removed from the house. So he's not removed from the house because I want him somewhere else. He's removed from the house because I don't want him in the house. That is a malach shen tzricha l'gufa. And that is a machlokes of Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, if you chayiv on Shabbos for such a malacha. Reb Shimon's opinion is that you're not. And Rabbanan's opinion, and Reb Yehuda's opinion is that you are. So one would think that this should be maybe considered a case of malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. When the usher is giving the ani the tzedakah, it's not because he wants to put it in the Rishus HaYochid. He just wants to give the Ani the tzedakah. When the Ani puts his basket into the Baal HaBayis' house. It's not because he specifically wants in the Baal HaBayis' house. That's the way he gets staka. And maybe it should be considered a Malach Shem Tzrich L'Gufa. Teaches us the Mishnah that this is not in the category of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, and everybody would agree that you're chayiv for Hoytzah here. The Choshek Shloima explains that as we in fact begin learning immediately in the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos that teaches us that under certain circumstances, if somebody does Aveira B'Shoigig, he's not chayiv a Karmen Chattas, but rather he's chayiv a Karmen Oil of Yoyrit, which depends on his financial situations to determine what will be his carbon, an animal, a bird, or a carbon mincha. So our Mishnah speaks about an ani, a person that's never collecting tzedakah. So we would think that here too, if he did the aveir b'shoigig, maybe he's chayiv a carbon oil of a yoyrid. We look at his financial status. Teaches us the Mishnah that no. Our Mishnah teaches us that the carbon oil of a yoyrid is not in this case, and no matter what your financial status is, you will be chayiv a carbon. You will be chayiv a carbon chattas. The Sefer Tosfos Chadashim also says that our Mishnah has come to teach us a fundamental aspect of Hilchos Hoytzah, as we learn in our Mishnah and our Gemara. The most fundamental halacha we could probably describe when we speak about Hoytzah is the need for an Akira and a Hanocha. Now, we would think that the definition of a Hanocha is only when something is put down somewhere else to be left there permanently. In our Mishnah, when the Ani is sticking his hand into the home of the Baal HaBayis, and he's taking something or bringing something, this is certainly not in any sense permanent, because his intention is to take it back to where he is. So everything here is just on the move, and maybe that should therefore not be considered a hanocha. Teaches us our Mishnah that the definition of a hanocha is that it should be placed down, but placing down does not mean permanently placed down. Placing it down is enough to be considered a hanocha for which you're chayiv. But the Rabbi Tanura and the Cheshik Shloima say that our Mishnah is actually also coming to teach us another halacha. Our Mishnah is coming to teach us an aspect of Hilchos Tzedakah. And our Mishnah is teaching us that we would think, says the Rabbi Tanura, that this Baal HaBayis and Ani are involved in the very important mitzvah of tzedakah. And since they're involved in this very important mitzvah of tzedakah, they ought not to be chayiv for hoytzah. They're involved in a mitzvah. Teaches us the Mishnah that isn't an exemption. And if this was done on Shabbos, indeed one would be chayiv for being mechalal Shabbos. Along the same lines, the Cheshek Shloima says that as we're going to learn later in our Masechta, quite often, that the minimum shear for carrying food on Shabbos to be chayiv is the shear of a groigris. So our Mishnah is trying to teach us that in Hilchos Tzedakah, what is the minimum amount that one must give to an ani, that one must give to a poor person who's coming for food? The size of a groigris. If you give less than a groigris, says the Cheshek Shloima, our Mishnah is teaching us, you haven't fulfilled mitzvah tzedakah. Ask the Tosfos Yontif on the Rabbi Tanura that our Mishnah is teaching us the Chiddush that even though they're involved in the mitzvah tzedakah, that doesn't exempt them from being over the Aveira of Hoytzah, even though they're being taught b'dvar mitzvah. Ask the Tosfos Yontif on the Rabbi Tanura that we're going to learn later in our Masechta, on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, a question: if somebody indeed was tarbet var mitzvah, he made a mistake involving a mitzvah. That means, let's say there was a child, says the Gemara there, whose bris was supposed to take place on Friday. And even though the halacha is that a bris, even though a bris involves chil Shabbos, may be conducted on Shabbos, the halacha is only a bris bezmanoi, a bris whose eighth, for the child whose eighth day is on Shabbos, may be done on Shabbos. But a child whose bris was supposed to be on Friday, you can't do on Shabbos. So says Rabbi Shua, he was a tar b'dvar mitzvah, and since he's a tar b'dvar mitzvah, he's potter. Similarly, says Rabbi Yossi, in Masechta the Sukkah, daf mem aleph amud beis, that if the first day of Sukkot is on Shabbos, and somebody carried his lulav into the Rishus HaRabim, he's potter. And in fact, that's the halacha. So what do we see? What do we see from here? That if somebody was involved in a dvar mitzvah, even though he had no right to do an aveira to accomplish his mitzvah, the halacha is that he's potter. It's not considered that he was mechal Shabbos. So why in our Mishnah, when this ani and this balabais were involved in the mitzvah of tzedakah, should they not be potter from Haitzah? The Oruch Lener, in fact, in Masechta Sukkah, and Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, says that the Rambam will indeed hold that in the case of an Ani and a Balabayas, who are involved in Tzedakah, there won't be a Chiyuv Haitzah. He says, because we look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Beis, where the Rambam brings the din that our Mishnah teaches us, the din of Haitzah and Achnasa and Akira and Hanocha, the Rambam doesn't mention anything about an Ani and a Balabais. He speaks about two people carrying. And we know, says the Aruch Lener, that the Rambam, whenever he quotes a din mentioned in the Mishnah, he quotes it the same way as the Mishnah described the din. Why over here do we find that the Rambam doesn't do so? Says Daruch Lener, because the Rambam indeed holds a very bechidish of Daruch Lener, that indeed in the case of an Ani and a Balabayas, they wouldn't be chayiv, because they're involved in the mitzvah tzedakah. Most Mefarshim obviously do not agree with the Rambam. And they take different approaches that have obviously halachic ramifications to answer the question that the Tosfos Yontif asks on the Rabbi Tanura. The Tosfos Yontif himself answers that by Mila, by Lulav, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos under certain circumstances. So even though under this circumstance you had no right to be Mechal Shabbos, when you did a Mila on a child that was born on Friday, you had no right to be Mechal Shabbos, but Mila is a mitzvah for which Chilul Shabbos is allowed. Tzedakah, on the other hand, says the Tosfos Yontif, is a mitzvah for which Chilul Shabbos is never allowed. And therefore, Tzedakah cannot be compared to Mila. Asks Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Tosfos Yontif, that's a good answer when we speak about Mila. The Mila, under certain circumstances, as we said earlier, if the child was born on Shabbos, we're allowed to do the Mila on Shabbos. So therefore, even in this case, where you had no right to do the Mila on Shabbos, we could be more lenient. But Lulav, even in the time when Lulav was taken on the first day, if the first day was Shabbos, that didn't allow you to be Mechal Shabbos. So how would we understand the Tosfos Yontif's answer? So the Achroinim suggest as follows. The Tosfos Yontif doesn't mean to say that it has to be a mitzvah for which Chilul Shabbos is allowed under certain circumstances. What the Tosfos Yontif means to say is that it's a mitzvah that has to be done on Shabbos. And since it's a mitzvah that has to be done on Shabbos, you have an understanding that the person sometimes could get confused, and even in a situation where Chil Shabbos is not allowed, he'll think that here Chil Shabbos may be done. Whereas when you have an act for which Chil Shabbos is never allowed, Staka, there you have no right to, there you don't have a heter of Tabit Vamitzvah. Of the Maral in a Sefer Gur Aryeh makes a distinction between Mila and Lulav, which you have no right to be, to avoid. You have to have a Mila, you have to do Lulav, and therefore you have a heter of Tabit Vamitzvah, versus Staka. The Staka doesn't have to be done. Why doesn't the Staka have to be done? Because the Ani could be Meichel. And since the Ani could be Meichel, there wouldn't be a Chiyuv Tzedaka. Where is there a concept of Tabit Vamitzvah, says the Maral? Only when there's no way of avoiding the mitzvah. Mila must be done. You must take a lulav. Tzedaka could be avoided. There are those that want to say that what the Maral is saying is that there's a difference between a mitzvah that's been Adam L'Mokoyim, Mila and Lulav are mitzvahs that are ben Adam L'Mokoyim, versus mitzvahs which are ben Adam L'Chaveroi. The question, however, is that there's a Gemara in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Ayin Beis Amar Beis, that if somebody had relations with his wife when she was in Nida, which of course is prohibited, but he didn't realize she was a Nida, he's considered a Tar B'Dvar Mitzvah. And if he's considered a Tar B'Dvar Mitzvah, he won't be Chayiv for having had relations with a Nida. But the halach we know is that there too a wife has a right to be Meichel and say, you don't have to have, we don't have to have relations. If what the Maral is saying is there's a difference which between a mitzvah which can be avoided versus a mitzvah which can't be avoided, so how do we understand this difference? So the answer perhaps is as follows. Mila, lulav, and having relations with one wife are mitzvahs that you have to fulfill. Yes, you could get out of relations with your wife tonight if she'll be meichel, but that doesn't take away the obligation to have relations with your wife. You still have a chiyuv as a husband to have relations with your wife. Whereas by tzedakah, if the ani says to you, you know what, I don't want tzedakah, that's not pshat that today you don't have to give him, but tomorrow you'll have to give him. You're entirely exempt if he's meichel. And therefore, tzedakah is even less than having relations with one's wife. And therefore, we learn a very big chiddush. Unlike what we wanted to say in the Maral, that there's a difference between a mitzvah ben Adam l'chaveroi and mitzvah ben Adam l'makom. Even a mitzvah that's ben Adam l'chaveroi, the halacha is that one is obligated, one can have a concept of tabit v'mitzvah. Only in a mitzvah from which you can become permanently exempt, tzedakah being such an example, the halacha is that you put that, that we have a, we don't have a concept of Tabit V'Mitzvah. The Rosh Hash takes a very easy approach. The Rosh Hash says that when a person has to make a bris for his child, or a person has to take the Dal Aminim on the first day of Sukkot, he's very preoccupied, and he doesn't think carefully, what am I allowed to do, what am I not allowed to do? And therefore, he has a heter of Tabit V'Mitzvah. It's sort of an oinus. It's sort of being preoccupied. By tzedakah, there isn't that type of pressure involved, and therefore he doesn't have a heter of tar bedvar mitzvah. The Chemda Shloima gives a different teretz. The Chemda Shloima says there's a difference between a mitzvah which must be accomplished through a maisa. You can't have a mila without a maisa mila. You can't have lulav without netilas lulav. Whereas tzedakah could easily be accomplished without any act of hoitzah. Invite the ani into your house and let him eat a meal. And therefore, where it's not obligated that there be a ma'aseh involved with your mitzvah, where action be involved in your mitzvah, it's a different situation. The Chassam Sofer and his son have a very different approach. Their approach is that we have to look at this ani. Let's think about this ani, the Chassam Sofer says. We're talking about an ani on Shabbos who's walking in the street trying to carry items. Yes, as our Mishnah teaches us, there are perhaps ways of avoiding an issa deraisa, and maybe as our Gemara will describe, there are even ways of avoiding an issa derabbanan. But says the Chassam Sofer here in the Gemara, that since what he's doing is very likely to end up in a situation where he'll be Mechal Shabbos, walking and putting your hands into people's houses can easily lead to carrying, we can't say he's a Tav Dvar Mitzvah. We only say the concept of Tav Dvar Mitzvah, says the Chassam Sofer, in a case where there is indeed a person did what he was supposed to do, and in the act, he ended up doing an Aveira. Here, you shouldn't have ever begun walking in the street, which could lead to Chil Shabbos. The Chassam Sofer, his son, in the Tshuvas, in Arichayim, in Simen Memches, says a very interesting concept. A person should be doing tzedakah in the tzedakah should be done in the privacy of one's home. Tzedakah that's done in such a public way, where the ani is standing in the Rosh Hasharabim, and the balabayas is standing inside, that isn't the proper way of doing tzedakah, says the Chassam Sofer. That's done publicly. Tzedakah is not supposed to be done publicly. Tzedakah is supposed to be done in the most private manner, in the most quiet manner as possible. And therefore, in this case, where the ani, and according to the difference between the Chassam Sofer and the Chassam Sofer, is that the Chassam Sofer is focused on the ani. The Chassam Sofer is focused both on the ani and on the Baal Bayis. They're both involved in doing stock in the wrong way. And when you're doing stock in the wrong way, meaning doing stock in a public manner, you can't say that that person is a Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. But one final teretz that we'll quote is the Kehilas Yaakov, not the Stipler, there's another Sefer Kehilas Yaakov, that says that there's no mitzvah on Shabbos of tzedakah. Because the Torah says regarding Shabbos, v'chinu asher yaviu, everything has to be prepared from before Shabbos. And just like all the food we need to have in our home must be prepared before Shabbos, so too all the food that we're preparing to give to an ani must be prepared before Shabbos. And therefore, giving tzedakah to an ani on Shabbos, it shouldn't have been done. It isn't the time for tzedakah. And therefore, you can't say that this is a person who's a Tav B'Dvar Mitzvah. So I saw that the Sefer, Megadim Chedoshim, quotes this Chiddush, that there is no mitzvah tzedakah on Shabbos. And he asks, if that's indeed the case, then we know that a mitzvah asei shazman groma, a mitzvah that isn't always applicable, noshim peturis, women are potter. So if we're saying that there's no mitzvah tzedakah on Shabbos, women should be potter from tzedakah. Isn't that a mitzvah asei shazman groma? And we know that the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simen Reish Memches, Sif Dalid, says that women are obligated in tzedakah. The only issue that the Shulchan Aruch focuses on is that we have to be careful that if a woman is giving tzedakah, we can only take it from her if we know that her husband consents. And if not, we could only take from her a small amount of tzedakah. And the Chinuch in Mitzvahs Asei Tov Ayin Tes says explicitly, Mitzvahs tzedakah noheges b'zecharim u'b'nekeves. But if the Kehilas Yaakov is correct, that mitzvah tzedakah doesn't apply on Shabbos, so why doesn't it remain a mitzvah asei shazman groma for which women are exempt? Perhaps the answer is, as the Pasuk taught us, it's not that there's no mitzvah tzedakah on Shabbos. Of course there's a mitzvah tzedakah on Shabbos. Tzedakah one is always obligated to give. What the Torah is teaching us is that your tzedakah for Shabbos don't do on Shabbos, do it before Shabbos. But it's a mitzvah all the time. Just it's the other tzedakah you could do all week long. The Shabbos to the tzedakah, go out of your way and prepare it from before Shabbos. And that's why it's not a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. But Shabbos isn't the time to give tzedakah. And since Shabbos isn't the time to give tzedakah, therefore we can't consider the onion balabayas of our Mishnah who were involved in giving tzedakah on Shabbos to be considered tar b'dvar mitzvah.